started. A couple of housekeeping items before we do that. We're going to do a roll call. So when we call your name or your organization, please state and spell your name for the recording. Also, when speaking, if you have any questions to ask during the course of the meeting, please state your name before you introduce your question or you respond also for the recording. So with that, we will go ahead and start. Again, Sherry Ernst from Covenant Health, and I'll be facilitating the meeting today. And so we'll go ahead and have Blue Care introduce themselves. Pat?
This is Pat Sullivan from Blue Care.
All right, Kim?
Hi, this is Kim Maltempo, sitting in for Justin Campbell from United Healthcare.
Okay, Lisa?
This is Lisa Jordan. I'm the Assistant Commissioner of the TennCare Oversight Division in the Department of Commerce and Insurance, and I sit on the panel as the Commissioner's designee.
Wonderful, and Heather?
I'm with the Plateau Pediatrics.
So, Heather, this is Sherry again. Can you please state your last name? I think a call was coming through as you were trying to say that.
Yes, my last name is Staten, Heather Staten. It's S-T-A-T.
Perfect. Again, this is Sherry Ernst. Did someone else join the call? Okay. Again, this is Sherry Ernst. If not, we'll go ahead and begin. So the first agenda item, and unfortunately for Lisa, she gets to present all of these agenda items today because Patricia can't be on the call today. So Lisa, if you want to just start with a summary of request, and then we'll just let you do your thing, and then we can certainly, you can facilitate any questions throughout your presentation.
Okay, thank you. This is Lisa Jordan with Commerce and Insurance. First, we'll go over the summary of TennCare independent review requests for calendar year 2024. You should have received the summary report as well as a spreadsheet showing the detailed documentation that backs up the summary. For 2024, we received a total of 61 independent review requests. Our number of requests continue to go down. Actually, it was the exact same number we received in 2024, but in 2023, we had 178. In 2022, we had 264. So we've really received fewer independent review requests in the last couple of years, and I attribute that to a couple of things. Part of it is some really good provider outreach that I think the MCOs are doing now to try to address issues with certain providers before the providers feel they need to go to independent review in order to resolve payment disputes. I think that's we're seeing the positive effects of that. And also providers are more aware and are availing themselves of our provider complaint process and getting a lot of disputes resolved that way before they move forward with seeking independent review. But in 2024, United Healthcare received a total of 30 independent review requests. Blue Care or Volunteer State Health Plan, 17, and then WellPoint, 14 in total. All of the independent review requests for calendar year 2024 have been completed. And you'll see on the summary the results of those decisions, whether or not the denials were upheld in favor of the MCO, or whether or not the reviewer overturned the denials in whole or in part in favor of the providers. Sometimes you will see that independent reviews were settled for the provider. What that means is that after the independent review request was received, but before the reviewer rendered a decision, the MCO and the provider worked out the dispute, and the claim or claims involved ultimately were paid in favor of the provider. I won't go over each one of these in detail. You all can read. But I'll just say that of the 61 independent review requests, about two-thirds were found or settled in favor of the provider, at least in whole or in part. So I think that speaks to this being a valuable tool for providers to have to resolve the payment disputes that they have. So I'll stop there. And ask if there are any questions. Okay, hearing none, I'll move to the report on provider complaints for calendar year 2024. We processed 1,014 provider complaints for the year. That number is holding pretty steady compared to last year. I think it was a little over 1,000 last year that we processed. UnitedHealthcare had 168. Blue Care had 277. WellPoint had 380. Now those are all TennCare provider complaints. We receive provider complaints also against D-SNP plans. We receive complaints involving Cover Kids, even a few that may have to do with Cover Rx. So, and then we receive complaints against health plans that are, it's ineligible for our process. They may involve a commercial health plan as opposed to a TennCare or a Cover Kids plan. And when we receive those, we forward those to our Consumer Insurance Services unit here in the department for them to handle. But for the year, a little over 50% of those provider complaints ended up being resolved in favor or in a positive manner for the provider. Most of the complaints do involve payment issues. There are some complaints involving, you know, they just may have a question and they can't get in touch with the right person. So it's not necessarily a payment dispute, but it is something that we assist the provider in helping to address. But again, this is a valuable tool for the provider. There's no fee involved with the provider complaint process as there is with independent review. And it's certainly a process that providers have are definitely utilizing and have found to be useful. So are there any questions about that?
Yes, please. So this is Sherry Aarons. I do have a question, and this is that we were just made aware of at Covenant that we could actually file a complaint with commercial insurance. I'm not sure how we missed that, but does that process afford you the opportunity to do batch, like several claims at one time and submit through that process, or is it still a one account at a time?
For a commercial plan, Sherry, I'm not sure, but I can find out. I can reach out to the Director of Consumer Insurance Services. Her name is Vicki Trice, T-R-I-C-E, and I'll be glad to check with Vicki and get back to you on that.
That'd be great. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Sherry Ernst again. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go on to the prompt pay compliance report.
Yes. Okay. This is quick. everybody was in compliance for the period that we're reviewing. It was September of 2024 through February 2025. Those were the final results that we had to date. WellPoint was out of compliance in September and October. During that period, they became compliant in November and have remained in compliance since then. I don't know if you remember, but at our last meeting, I reported that WellPoint had also been out of compliance for months prior to September. I think we have June, July, and August. They were out of compliance. Because of that, we just now executed a consent order with WellPoint where we levied administrative penalties of $10,000 per month that they were out of compliance. So it was a total of $50,000 that we will be collecting in an administrative penalty. It's my understanding that TennCare also levied some liquidated damages due to prompt pay noncompliance as well. That's separate from what we do under the statute. TennCare, of course, always has the option to impose liquidated damages for failure to comply with the terms of its contract. So plans can get hit both ways, you know, by us per the statute and also by TennCare under the terms of the contract. So, and I think I've reported before as well that while what you're seeing on this report are the results of all claims processed within a month, TennCare asks us to break down the results by type of claims. So we report whether they have processed choices claims timely in accordance with the contractual standards and the ECF IDD claims. We report compliance with those contractual standards. So while a plan may comply in total with the prompt pay requirements as set out in the statute, they may not be in compliance for a subtype of claims. So TennCare may levy liquidated damages under the contract for a plan's failure to not process a subcategory of claims timely. That's not reflected on these reports, but I just wanted everyone to be aware that is going on in the background as well.
Sherry. I do have another question. So, we understand the prompt pay piece, but, you know, what about in situations where appeal determinations are not being rendered? I mean, is there any type of kind of teeth from a regulatory perspective that would require that? Because we're finding that is definitely a challenge from an administrative burden perspective, just waiting on plans to respond to those appeals.
Sherry, that is something that we track, and because we have seen in our examinations that sometimes those reconsideration requests were not being resolved within 30 or 60 days as required by the statute, and we've put some plans on corrective action plans in order to clear those backlogs and get into compliance. So it's something that we have been focused on, especially in the last 6 months, is making sure that the plans do follow the statute in processing those reconsideration requests. Pat, I don't know if you want to speak to this. I know, you know, we've worked very closely with Pat Sullivan at Blue Care and his team because they had some issues with backlogs, and he could speak more to the details behind that.
Sure, Lisa. This is Pat Sullivan. Sure, Lisa. I we did have an issue with our reconsiderations in the last few months. So actually in February, we found that we had several thousand that were actually misidentified or not identified as reconsiderations. And so, and it was somewhere, it was several thousand into almost 30,000, well, over 30,000 of them were reconsiderations that we had had over the last year. And so we made a concerted effort, and we did a 6-week focus on getting all of those out the door. And I'm happy to say that as of the second week in April, we actually have brought all of our reconsiderations into compliance, and we're under the 60-day time statute for reconsiderations now. So we are current with them, and we've identified the issues that caused them, and we're currently making sure that we're identifying those as they come through our inventory. So so we are current with our reconsiderations at this point, but we did have a period of time in the last year where we were not.
So, Pat, this is Sherry Ernst again. Do you know the overturn rate on those?
I do not. We could probably come up with that, but and I think we report that through TDCI as well, so... but you would, if you had reconsiderations, you would have gotten a letter that actually states the reason for the reconsideration and the outcome of it.
Thank you. So this is Sherry again. I have one more question, not specific to Pat at all. Actually, it's more in line for Kim. So we have found that we are submitting their prepayment reviews. And so these prepayment reviews, and it's United, and there's some community, there's some dual eligibles in there. And what we're doing is we submit the medical record through the portal, and it takes a long time to get a response back. So I guess, and Lisa, maybe this is a question for you as well. So how does that factor into prompt pay when the payer is waiting on medical records and we release and then we're waiting on a determination?
Sherry, this is Kim from United. I was going to follow up with Pat. So we, too, had back to the reconsiderations just for a minute. We, too, did have a backlog. We have been working through that, and I am happy to report that we are now in compliance as well with that as we have gone through this first quarter of 2025. In terms to your second question about the prepayment reviews and the medical records through the portal, I might have to have that as a takeaway and get back to you on that. And maybe if you have any examples that you can provide to me, just so I can get a better idea of what exactly maybe the holdup is and what the process is on that end. I don't know if we can connect maybe afterward, after this meeting.
Kim, that would be wonderful.
Okay, fantastic. I will reach out to you and we can just try to figure out what's going on.
Thank you. Again, this is Sherry Ernst. Just to let you all know, not trying to gang up on you at all in this meeting, but we're just really looking at ways to be more efficient, to get turn some things around faster from a cash perspective. We're having staffing challenges like I'm sure all of you are, and that has even contributed to your own backlogs. And so any time that we can decrease our touches, which really is the whole purpose of the prompt pay regulation to begin with, it's like if you provided a service, let's get paid as long as all the stars align. And we are seeing that the number of pre-payment requests are going up. And I do think that that's a factor in how fast we can collect our money. And, again, it increases our administrative burden exponentially. Well, at the same time, I understand that from a fiduciary perspective, you all need to also validate medical necessity, coding, all of those things. Fine, not a problem, but we just need to make sure that it's done very, very timely so that if we are, if we're due the money, we get the money.
Mm-hmm. And Sherry, this is Lisa Jordan. Regarding how those claims are handled from a prompt pay perspective, I don't know if those claims would be identified to us on the prompt pay files for us to even know if those claims were pended awaiting medical review. I don't think they would be reflected as an adjusted claim. I think they would just be reflected as a regular claim in the prompt pay data files, which would mean we wouldn't adjust the time lags on those to show that the claim was being held for review, for chart review or medical record review.
So, Lisa, this is Sherry again. So what, just to kind of clarify a little bit, and I should have said this to begin with, when I say prepayment, they're issuing a remit with a communication code to us to say we're not going to pay you until you release additional information to us. So they probably are, to your point, included in that prompt pay time frame, just mm-hmm. no payment until we meet certain parameters of the medical record request. And so anyway, we've actually, to the point of we've had to hire two staff just to release records to meet the time frames and to try and, again, get the payments as fast as we can. And that's in addition to our medical records release, just because the volume was getting so great of what we had to request before we could get paid. I'm sorry, release before we could get paid.
Sherry, this is Kim from United. You are correct. So if there are remits issued, then they would be going over on the prompt pay file as a processed claim. So I think that I would like to just see some of the issues that you are running into in terms of, I know it's medical necessity, and I know that we have seen a lot of issues just with coding, and I think DRG issues especially. But if we can maybe just get offline and I can look at some of the issues, maybe we can find a way forward where we're making sure that things are submitted appropriately the first time around so that we don't have to continue to kind of go around this process. So I'll connect with you after.
That sounds great. And again, this is Sherry, just for the records. And one of the things that we're even considering is there a better way to do this? Could we submit the records if for certain parameters with the claim? So again, trying to be efficient, certainly trying to get all the information that you need to make good decisions about payment. But there are other ways to do it than the way that it's being done today. So, Kim, I would welcome that conversation. And I certainly can get my resident experts on the call or have part of the conversation as well. All right. So this is Sherry again. So we'll move on to new business if there's nothing else regarding the reporting and prompt pay.
This is Lisa Jordan, and it's nothing that we need to address today. I just wanted to put a bug in everyone's ear. I think we may have an independent reviewer who's going to retire soon. And if he, in fact, does retire, the panel will need to decide if, based on the current volume of independent reviews we're receiving, if we need to select another reviewer. And if we do make that decision, we will need to go through the process of recruiting, you know, someone and deciding on who we want to select to do that. So again, that's not anything we have to address today, but it may be something that we need to address in our next meeting.
This is Sherry Ernst again. Thanks for that, Lisa. So I guess also as far as new business, Lisa, do we have an idea of when we would want the next meeting?
We just have to have one more in this calendar year. We usually do that in the fall, in October or early November. There's nothing that requires us to do it in those months. We could do it in September. So I'm certainly open to suggestions. I don't know if you all have times that are better or worse.
So again, this is Sherry Ernst. I do know that fall break will hit in October. Would we want to try something maybe the last week of October or the first part of November? So that's open, you know, to the panel.
This is Pat Sullivan from Blue Care. I know that first part of November, I will be out of pocket.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Pat. This is Lisa Jordan. The last week in October is fine with me.
This is Sherry Ernst. Kim? Thoughts? Heather?
Sure. So this is Kim Maltempo from United. I will say for myself, the last week in October does not work. However, I think that Justin Campbell can likely be here then. November, to just be honest, November is a little bit better. But I think we could make whatever needs to happen work.
Heather?
Yes, the last week in October would work fine for me as well. Anytime in November would be.
So this is Sherry Ernst. So Lisa, any idea about Pat's schedule or Patricia's schedule, excuse me?
We'll just go on and set the meeting, and then hopefully she'll be available. So how about Tuesday, October the 28th?
This is Sherry Ernst. I could definitely do that.
Okay.
This is Pat Sullivan.
And this is Kim Maltempo from United. That actually works well.
This is Sherry Ernst again. Heather, that sounds like that's fine with you. We'll go ahead and book the date for October 28th, 1 o'clock Central, 2 o'clock Eastern. This is Sherry Ernst again. Unless there's additional new business, I think we can adjourn.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, and you all have a great Easter weekend.
You do the same.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone. Thank you. Bye.